Thank you for joining us on the BC's Path to Universal Childcare podcast. This is episode 3, and we would like to recognize that this podcast is recorded on the traditional unceded lands of the Coast Salish people, including the Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Musqueam nations. In the process of reforming childcare in BC, it is important to recognize and honor the Indigenous ways of knowing that have nurtured the children on this land from time immemorial.
This episode welcomes our colleagues from the Early Childhood Pedagogy Network, also known as the ECPN, to discuss the ways that their work brings families and early childhood professionals together in purposeful, mutually beneficial learning situations.
And supporting professional development and pedagogical networks and partnerships to implement BC's early learning framework is part of the four building blocks of the 10-a-day roadmap to universal childcare.
Research shows that early childhood education requires a strong pedagogical commitment.
And the ECPN has been a guiding light in this area throughout the province since 2019.
The ECPN, working alongside the First Nations Pedagogy Network, or FNPN, is focused on creating transformational change in early childhood education across BC through pedagogical leadership. Today, Kathleen, Veronica, and Teresa join us to discuss how pedagogists work with children and educators.
Over to you, Gita.
Thank you. Today, we are so pleased to welcome Kathleen Kuman, who's joining us from West Vancouver, Veronica Pacini Quechaba, who's joining us from Argentina, and Teresa Smith, who's joining us from Kamloops. We thank all of you for taking the time to share with us the critically important work that you are doing. West Coast has been very fortunate to work with the ECPN over the last 2 years and host 3 pedagogists during this time. The early childhood pedagogy work emerged out of years of research and commitment that you all did in investigating quality projects, examining the quality in child care. Can you please, dear Veronica, tell our listeners what the Early Childhood Pedagogy Network is and how it impacts our early learning environments?
Thanks, Gita. Yes, the ECPN grew from the Investigating Quality Project that was also funded by MCFD from 2006 to 2017. The Investigative Quality Project introduced what we call in academia and in early childhood a social constructionist idea about quality that has been inspired by the work of Peter Moss, Alan Penz, and Gunilla Dalberg. These ideas about quality tell us that there are no ideals about creating quality spaces. So that means that we cannot define what quality is in advance. Rather, quality needs to be created in collaboration with the children, the families, the place, and its inhabitants. Peter Moss, Gunilla Dalberg, and Alan Penz also tell us that the problem has been that quality has been linked to child development, and that unfortunately, child development approaches to early childhood education are not only limiting, but also draw on colonial assumptions. Dalberg and Moss suggest that quality in early childhood education is ethical and political work in a specific local context. Thus, the Investigating Quality Project and the ECPN, quality is created, socially constructed by educators in the classroom. How might we closely support educators to create lively and pedagogical spaces that draw on ideas relevant to the actual lives of children, families, and the place in which they are in? So the ECPN, to repeat what Emily told us, is that mobilizes the call for transformational change in early childhood education in British Columbia in collaboration with communities. And the ECPN is committed to creating conditions for pedagogical leadership through the role of the pedagogist. Now, Teresa will speak a little bit more, because she is a pedagogist, about this role and give us a bit of a background about what it is that she does.
Thank you so very much, dear Veronica. So important to know that your work began in 2006, so for 11 years of research and study, and all the authors and philosophers that we rely on and look to, and you lifted up so many pillars for us to hold on to and remember. No ideals. Quality needs to be created. It's an ethical and political big pathway of work, and the role of ECPN in transformational change. Thanks so much. We'll now move to Kathleen, as Veronica said. And Kathleen, our question for you is, can you please tell us how this network of pedagogists includes educators being supported to co-construct curriculum with children and to bring to life the vision of the BC Early Learning Framework?
Thank you, Gita, very much for your question. Pedagogies walk with educators in early childhood spaces in their daily work with children to co-construct curriculum. This means that working with a pedagogies does not add or create extra work for educators. Rather, it is a reconfiguration of the work. That is work that invites educators to engage collectively with children as they respond to the current conditions in their daily lives. That is, a pedagogist comes in to work with educators to learn to live well with what's happening in the life of those children. For example, living with COVID. Right now, some of our pedagogies are working with educators to create spaces that welcome families, even though families might not be able to enter the center due to COVID restrictions. That is, they are reimagining with educators how to build and sustain relationships with the people that matter most to the children, yet who are no longer able to enter into the center. As Veronica mentioned, pedagogies ask questions that support educators in pedagogically responding to a life at the center, asking what are the conditions that we need to foster and what are those that we need to interrupt to live well in this space. For example, most early childhood centers value relationships. And how do we respond then, if we value relationships, to incidents in which children are challenged to share the materials in the room? If we look at this question beyond the individual children, we see that this is a huge question that challenges all of us on this planet. How do we share the limited resources of Earth in ways that promote equity and social justice? These are the questions that young children and adults struggle with daily. Pedagogies support educators and children in projects that consider these and other important questions. Gita, I think it's really important to remember that the work of the pedagogist, as noted within the BC Early Learning Framework, is immersed in the center and supports educators in their work to create and sustain relevant, inclusive, and joyful life. And Teresa, I just wonder if you can jump in for a minute and add to that.
Yeah, I wanted to say, you know, it's really important what you said about this idea of the pedagogist being immersed in the center. I'm very grateful to be able to enter centers physically now, because last year was entirely virtual due to COVID-19 restrictions. So since September, I've been able to visit each classroom at least once a week, and that means I'm becoming part of life in each center. I'm getting to know educators, the children are actually recognizing me and greeting me when I enter, and the face-to-face relationship just helps so much because I can clarify my role right there in the center with them. I can make clear that the role of the pedagogist is distinct in early childhood. I'm not there to assess individual educators or individual children. I'm not a licensing officer or a supported child development worker. My role as a pedagogist is really to think about the collective life of the center.
And I'm just going to add a little bit more, because those of you listeners that know me know I talk a long time, but I think this pedagogical life, pedagogy is really important. Our really good friend, Christina Delgado Ventimiglia, talks about pedagogy as creating lives. And that's really the role of the pedagogist, to think, to provoke, to create with educators the conditions where we can engage in pedagogical practice that supports a vision of living well together. For example, a pedagogist will support educators in bringing to life the practices that reflect the values of their centers. For example, if we value inclusion, how do we ensure that our daily routines and the very culture of our center welcomes diversity? A pedagogist asks with educators, how can we reconfigure the rhythms and flows of our day so that we're responding to the ever-changing lives of children? I'm from infant toddler education, and in an infant toddler room, we need to ask, how can the materials, the space, the events in our room respond as more children each day begin to move from crawlers to walkers to runners? How do we foster a space that celebrates new walkers and runners? What happens, for example, if we show a video on the wall of our walk in the forest or images of puddles? How do these images invite children to celebrate feet walking, running, and jumping? As the children leave the stroller, how does a pedagogist think with the educator about the size of the group needed to so that the children have time to extend their attention to the world around them, to ask questions, to consider, to construct meaning? I'm hoping that my examples, Gita, help the listener to hear how the pedagogist is not someone who brings one more thing to do, but rather works with educators to create spaces that sustains the joy that we all went into to work with young children. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kathleen. I'm just busy taking copious notes. I loved your beginning, yet another pillar about walking with educators. And then we moved on to actually the term immersed with the educators in the various programs, and the themes of reconfiguring and reimagining the daily lives of the children with the focus on equity and social justice, the importance of creating, thinking, co-creating, and provoking. And so your responses, both Kathleen and Teresa, were so comprehensive and fulsome. I just wanted to pose the next question to see if you wanted to add anything. This question, Teresa, was directed towards you. And it says, perhaps there may be some misunderstanding out there that a pedagogist will create the curriculum for a program. This is not what a pedagogist does. Please explain or expand on how a pedagogist works with educators and organizations. So you may want to add, Teresa, something in that regard.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for this question. I just want to situate myself a little bit. I'm really thankful to be joining you from the unceded lands of the Tecumloops Tishaquetmic peoples. And I am part of the community stream of pedagogists. So that means that I'm hosted by my local CCRR here in Kamloops. And in my case, it's different for every pedagogist, but in my case, I work in three large centers, each of which has multiple classrooms ranging from the infant toddler age to programs for 3 to 5-year-old children. So to answer your question about how a pedagogist supports educators in creating curriculum, I think it's important that we first consider what exactly we mean by curriculum. Because if we think of curriculum as something we impose from the outside or something that we can find in a handbook, or maybe we think of curriculum as a set of skills that children must learn during their early years, that's not what we're talking about. You've heard from Kathleen and Veronica that at the ECPN, we're committed to reimagining those possibilities for early childhood. So that also means reimagining what we mean by curriculum. So it just means that my role as a pedagogist becomes not to introduce a new set of activities, but rather to create the conditions for educators, children, families, and myself to collectively create curriculum in an ongoing process of responding to what is happening. So I'll explain a little bit more about what I mean by that. As you can imagine, as your listeners know, every classroom is unique because educators, children, families, they're all unique. And it's important to say that in each context, the conditions will be different. So that's why it would be very strange for me to come in as someone from the outside, or anyone really, to come in and deposit a ready-made curriculum into the classroom. So instead, in each setting, my first job as a pedagogist is to listen, so I can begin to understand the specificities of this place, of this center. So for example, I will enter with questions, not answers. I want to know the history of the center. I ask questions to find out what is important to educators. What are they interested in thinking about? What are the conditions that we're living that we want to foster? And what are the conditions that we want to interrupt? I also need to figure out logistically, how might we begin to work together as a group. So you can see that the work of a pedagogist is clearly not about implementing a new series of learning activities, right? And rather, it means that I'm inviting educators into conversations where we think critically together about these questions. What do we really want to create here? What kind of place? How are we viewing children? How do we view the role of the educator? How do we view the role of early childhood education? And how might we together open up possibilities? So these are really big questions, right? And these conversations are foundational to the work that we're trying to do here. I have my own personal pedagogical commitments, and part of my work is to support educators to articulate a collective set of commitments for the center. On another hand, another part of my work right now is about supporting educators to document their daily life with children. I mentioned earlier, I'm in each classroom once a week. So being able to see photos and videos that educators have taken throughout the week helps all of us to see what's actually happening in the classroom so that we can respond with intention. I'm always amazed when I look back at a video that I've taken, even something that I was present for. And after watching it a few times, I can begin to see all the little details that I would have missed if I didn't have that recording. So watching these videos together, this documentation together with educators, helps to ground our conversations in what is actually happening in the classroom. And that's where we can begin to create curriculum or make pedagogical choices about where we might go next in response to what we're seeing. I'll give you an example. In one center where I'm working, we're thinking carefully about the colors of the land around the center. Your listeners may have visited Shikwetmik territory, and if so, they may have noticed the wide range of greens and browns, purples and yellows of this place. As a pedagogist, one of my commitments is to create curriculum through which children and adults are noticing the land around them and developing a relationship with the land. So in this particular center, we go on walks and we stop to notice the minute changes in the color of the hills around the center. In response, and to extend that noticing, we've begun to work carefully with pastels and to find all the colors of rocks or agates that were found in the hills around the center. So this careful noticing of those minute changes in color and landscape is part of becoming aware that this place is not just any place. Rather than imposing something from the outside, we are creating the curriculum that is of this place. And I just want to add that there's a lot of work that happens while I'm not within centers with educators as well. So between visits, I work with the documentation that they've made to create something to offer back to them to provoke our thinking. It also might mean bringing in ideas from local artists or scholars that's relevant to the curriculum we're collectively working on. Again, it's about reaching outside of early childhood to enlarge our thinking. So just to sum up, my role as pedagogist is to encourage and help make space to create a curriculum that supports children to live with this place. I do this by supporting educators to document what is happening in the classroom, and by bringing together educators to reflect and think critically about where we might go next. That's what I mean when I say curriculum is a process of responding to what's happening.
Wow. Gita, thank you so very much.
Gita, it's Kathleen. I just want to just say one really important thing to add to what Teresa was saying. We have 33 pedagogies that are part of our community network, and that it's the pedagogies come together with directors and each other to think deeply about how to bring to life this role in an authentic manner. Our intention, and this is really important, is never to dismiss the histories and ideas of those who've come before us. Neither is it to evaluate or critique individuals or centers. Rather, the pedagogies come together as a network to have conversations, to think critically, to reimagine new possibilities in the here and now. As a network, our pedagogies are committed to experimenting with contemporary frameworks to address conditions through practices to create more livable spaces in the moments that we are living.
Thank you so very much, both Kathleen, for your additional comments, and Teresa, where Teresa, you did give us some very, very concrete examples of the work that you do, reimagining curriculum. And the words that really stay with me are to create conditions and to collectively listen, ask questions, work together, and invite conversation that respects the uniqueness of each of the programs, opens up possibilities, supports documentation, what is actually happening, and what can and might happen next. Woo, we're learning so much. We'll then move back, thank you, to Kathleen. The ECPN is working alongside First Nations Pedagogies Network in partnership with the BC Aboriginal Child Care Society. Can you please speak a little bit about the nature of this relationship?
Thank you, Gita. Yes, the ECPN walks alongside its sister network, the First Nations Pedagogy Network, led by the ECPN partner, BC Aboriginal Child Care. The phrase walking alongside is really important, as we are committed to the national and global frameworks, such as the Truth and Reconciliation Commission's 2015 Calls to Action the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, and the Indigenous Early Learning Childcare Framework. Therefore, the FNPN's work is unique in that they are bringing to life this work in distinctly First Nation ways. As noted on their website, ways that support children, families, cultures, and communities. We're also walking alongside the Métis Nation of BC with two pedagogies, thinking with the Métis Nation as they too develop unique ways to respond to this role from a Métis perspective. Thank you.
We thank you. So I've really taken into head and heart your description of walking alongside sister networks with a focus on truth and reconciliation, calls to action, the UN Declaration, and the Indigenous Early Learning Framework. We thank you so much for that explanation, Kathleen. And now we move to Veronica. If there are educators who are listening and wondering about either working with a pedagogist or becoming a pedagogist, what would be the best way or next steps for them to go about this?
Great question, Gida. The best way of connecting with us and to find out what is happening with the ECPN is to follow us on Twitter, on Facebook, and of course, sign up in our website for the newsletter. And you can find all that information in our website, www.ecpn.ca. If you're interested in working with a pedagogist, we ask centers for a long-term commitment. So a pedagogist would be working with a center for hopefully many, many years. Again, contact us to our email, which you can find in the website. Listeners can find it in the website and let us know that you want to welcome a pedagogist in your center. And we'll do our best to match you with a pedagogist. If you're interested in becoming a pedagogist, the good news is that we are now taking applications and it closes December 18th. So please put your application as soon as possible. And you can visit our website again to learn more about it. Now, there are also many other ways that you can participate in the ECPN. And this is for all early childhood educators and the larger early childhood education community in BC and beyond. First, we have a conversation series that is delivered virtually in which we and pedagogists have conversations about curriculum, about pedagogical narrations, and sometimes even educators speak about their work with pedagogists. Second, we have the Early Years Professional Hub in which West Coast also participates as a partner. Here in the hub, pedagogists facilitate discussions around the early learning framework. And all people interested in early childhood are welcome to participate in these discussions with pedagogists. Finally, our website not only includes information about the ECPN, but also addresses important ideas that are related to pedagogy and curriculum, and that is through a blog. And we add posts regularly, so I ask your listeners to continue to visit the website. And before we end, Gida, I just want to thank you for your wonderful questions, your interesting questions, and of course, thank West Coast for inviting us to participate in this.
Well,
podcast.
We extend our incredible thanks to all of you, Veronica, Kathleen, and Teresa. And I think in your response to this question, you really highlighted that the network is using every possible social media opportunity and option to make things available to people and to invite their participation. So between Facebook and the website and Twitter and your blog and the virtual sessions and the hub, there are probably more than half dozen opportunities that you indicated there. I'm just thinking, what a magnificent half an hour. Probably we could have spent 100 hours learning more from you and about all your examples, both from a philosophical and a practical point of view. What you shared with us really makes me think about the whole theme that once was a book called Roots and Wings. In terms of roots, you provided us with a lot of the history and the beginnings of your ECPN network. And then wings, offering people all of these opportunities to uplift and move on. You've also used three words that a wonderful friend of mine gave as a speech to teachers in Alberta, where she said the three most important things about education are relationships, which you focused on a great deal, reflection in terms of our capacity to reimagine and rethink, and the final one, restorative practice. As an Indigenous elder taught me, she uses the term in the motion now to mean we lift you up. So indeed, you have all lifted us up. We thank you, we bless you for the work you continue to do and all that you've shared with us.